tweet at Today SOR.
Now let's hear some notes that will be familiar to many of our listeners. No marks for guessing, really. That is Downton Abbey theme tune. Can't you just picture the great house in all its grandeur, the beloved Crawleys and their intrepid staff? Downton Abbey the movie is hitting the Irish cinema screens tomorrow. Its TV show had 52 episodes and 6 series, devoured by 280 million viewers all over the world. But will the movie live up to the phenomenon that was the hit TV series? With me in studio, two people we sent along to watch the movie, Aideen Gormley, broadcaster and movie buff, and John Boland, Irish Independent TV critic. I went along to the Stella in Rathmines last night to have a look too. Not being familiar with the TV series. Some very high profile fans as well of this show. Kate Middleton, the Duchess of Cambridge, called into the Ealing studios as they finished the final series. Universally loved, I suppose, Aideen. Just for anybody who hasn't any idea, just paint a picture of Downton Abbey and what's it all about.
Yeah, well, as you said, Sean, I mean, 52 episodes as we met the Crawley family. And for those who didn't see the TV series, the last episode was actually Christmas Day of 2015. And they wrapped everything up beautifully, both upstairs and downstairs in this drama. I think they were terrified to upset people because fans of the series might remember the Christmas special in season 3 when they killed off the character that Dan Stevens played, so who's Lady Mary's husband, on Christmas Day when she had just given birth to their heir. And there were literally complaints into ITV, you have ruined our Christmas, how could you possibly do this? So everything was lovely on Christmas Day of 2015. The Lord and Lady of the House were very happy with everything. Lady Mary and Lady Edith had found love. Maggie Smith was her wonderful self as ever. And I suppose downstairs then what was interesting was we had Lady Mary's maid Anna and Mr. Bates had given birth to a son. They were happy out. The big deal though was that Carson, the butler, had retired. He and Mrs. Hughes were happily ever after as well. So everything was tied up very nicely. So in a way they could have left it there, but they decided not to.
So now we have this movie, John Boland. I'm sure you duty required you to watch the TV series.
Tell me about the movie. I went back to the first review I did of it in 2010, where I said it wallowed in nostalgia, which this one certainly does. Indeed, it's an ultimate Brexit movie. It wallows in nostalgia for an England that never really existed. But at the time, I remember writing that it brought out the small or Republican in me, because not just was it the masters versus the servants, but Julian Fellowes, the creator and writer of it, and the whole tone of the thing seemed to endorse this situation. I think the movie endorses it even more. I thought it was great fun. I saw it last night in the same company as you, Sean. I also thought it was awful tripe. So,
really?
Yeah, there was about an hour going through it. The thought flitted through my mind. I thought, wouldn't it be a good idea now if Quentin Tarantino took over the reins here and really dealt with these people? You know,
I suppose the story of the movie, it's all built around a royal visit, Aideen.
A royal visit. The King and Queen are about to visit, and this creates havoc both upstairs and downstairs because Lady Mary is, you know, terrified that the estate has to last and this event has to go very well. And downstairs, they are thrilled that they are going to be able to serve the King and Queen. But no, it turns out that the King and Queen bring their own royal staff, beautifully headed by David Haig, playing the royal butler, who is hilarious in it. And so what is going to happen? Well, you know,
They throw their weight around.
And, you know, it's no spoiler alert that Carson, who, as I mentioned, had retired, he has to come back and save the day, doesn't he? Because Downton can't possibly, you know, work without him. So, I mean, all that worked very well. And I think it's funny. I'm sure you thought you'd have a Brexit-free item here, but we've mentioned it already. And, I mean, that republicanism does come into it because, of course, Tom Branson, played by the brilliant Irish actor Alan Leach, who has a very significant part in this
film,
doesn't he?
Well, he is almost the main part. Yeah. I mean, Hugh Bonneville is almost not there in the film, and Elizabeth McGovern as the two parents. Yeah. I think they looked at the TV series and said, he's such a charming actor, he's such an engaging actor, he's the lovable Irishman, so Brexit would like him as well. He's not a troublesome Irishman. So he's given...
He is.
I mean, giving the game away, he performs an absolutely vital duty at one stage. And
well, it's a question of will his republicanism come to the fore? Will he stick, you know, and loyal to the Crawley family? Mm-hmm. And then brilliantly downstairs as well, they give us the maid Daisy, who's great for a few laughs as well. But she's the only one downstairs who's not at all enamoured with the King and Queen visiting. So that's kind of fun.
Yeah, and Maggie Smith.
Well, Maggie Smith is something else. I think the best line.
The grand dame of the whole lot.
Yeah, well, the best line was in the very first episode. episode, I think, of the very first series when Maggie Smith, as only she can say it, one of the younger cast characters was saying, "I'm off for the weekend." And she looked at my puzzle and said, "What's a weekend?" You know, because everything is a weekend. And she was superb again in the movie.
I think she'd even four put down quips in the trailer alone. And they make great use of her. I did think on this occasion, though, that they also, as well as the comedy element, they did touch on her frailty and her relationship with Lady Mary in terms of keeping this estate going, and yes, that was kind of touching towards the end.
Yeah, absolutely. And also, I mean, part of one of the subplots in this whole thing was that there was a lady in waiting to the Queen who was an old foe of Maggie Smith, and that relationship was very interesting.
Yeah, I mean, it's great to have a few new characters, and I mentioned the Royal Butler, and we've the brilliant Imelda Staunton in as the Dowager Countess's cousin, and they had a falling out when they last met, so we're dying for Imelda Staunton to arrive. She is one of the Queen's handmaids, lady maids, and she arrives, and of course they clash beautifully.
And she has a daughter as well, who's quite an attractive
woman. She is a daughter, Tuppence Middleton, yes, who I like anyway. She's a really good presence in movies. And that was kind of predictable that she was going to turn out to be not just a lady's maid. I just wonder about the whole thing, how it stands alone as a movie, because the backstories of none of the people are hardly ever given. At the very end, Mary, Lady Mary's husband, suddenly arrives on the scene, played by Matthew Good, isn't
That's
it?
Right, yeah.
And you say, who the hell is he? Oh, yeah, remembrance from the TV series. But a cinema audience who hadn't seen that wouldn't have an idea what he's doing in it. You know?
Yeah, I mean, I did meet someone coming out of the preview who had never seen the TV series, so was only seeing this film and was fine with it and thoroughly enjoyed it. So in some ways you get away with it. And a lot of people have been saying, why didn't they just do a Christmas special? I kind of disagree.
Oh, sure, we'll be watching this for the next 50 Christmases.
Well, we will.
It's going to be like The Quiet Man and The Sound of Music and all the rest of them, surely, John.
It is. Now, it had about 15 false endings last night.
Well, I remember saying to you, I thought it was going to end 20 minutes sooner than it did.
Absolutely, yeah. And each one seemed to tie up every loose end, so I can't really see where it goes from here. I'm sure it will
will be returning to it, I think so. And I think it lends itself really well to the cinema because...
You mean a bit like Godfather, except it's not going to be quite as gory. It'll be at least three of them, yeah.
No, it'll all end up. But I think they've left a few loose ends that definitely we'll be seeing it back in the cinema. And I think it looks beautiful on the, you know, in the cinema screen. It's grandeur,
it's
multiplied, and the music and the costumes and
the setting. It's like the house itself is one of the stars, isn't it?
Definitely. I mean, it's unashamedly retro. It doesn't begin to question the relationship between the downstairs and the upstairs at all. It just accepts that as a fact, which is curious in 2019.
As they do themselves,
yes. But I think a contemporary take on these things would give you interesting teasers about this and raise interesting questions. And this doesn't all, it's just quite content to have them
and then
as happy servants.
There was a gay love affair as part of it as well. I mean, how did that sit in the whole story?
I don't think it really sat at all, actually, as far as I was concerned. It seemed to be saying, oh, we must put this in to
this was
cater for contemporary audiences. But it didn't seem to sit at all. It seemed to come out of nowhere.
Right.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, it's tricky for... I mean, Julian Fellowes wrote the screenplay for Gosford Park and won an Oscar for His Trouble. He's good at this. Mm. And I thought it was tricky for him in some ways. You know, as we said, 52 episodes. And if you're watching it on television over the years, you know, Lady Mary might be the main character one week and Maggie Smith the next. He had to touch on over 20 characters over, say, 2 hours, which was tricky. He nearly got there, but I think he ticks boxes for fans, you know, in terms of what they're all at.
Marks out of 10. John?
Well, for me, 4.
Really?
Yeah,
I'm going to get an 8. For its nostalgia and escapism, and I think we need
it. I might as well offer my Tuppence worth. I'd give it a 7.
Okay.
I enjoyed watching it once. I never want to see it again.
Okay, well, look, you never know. There might be a wet day sometime around Christmas. You might be glad of it. John Boland, Aideen Gormley, thank you both. We're talking to Max Hastings about his new book. That's after the break.
Today with Sean O'Rourke on RTE Radio 1.